Welcome to the Mojo for Musicians podcast from Manny Cabo Media, where we dig deep into today's top strategies to help you take your music career to the next level with real, raw, and uplifting conversations with industry professionals that are making moves, making a difference, and making the best versions of themselves to inspire you to do the same. What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Manny Cabo, and welcome to another episode of Mojo for Musicians.
All right. Wow. Welcome back, Mojo Maniacs. It's your boy, the musician's motivator, Manny Cabo. Can you believe we are in season two already? Man, I'm just beyond humbled by all the incredible messages and support that the show is getting. You guys are taking Mojo for Musicians to the top of the best music podcasts in the world. I mean, seriously, we got fans in Europe, South America, Australia, Japan, and the list goes on. Wow. I mean, just simply wow. And to all you musicians out there, just keep reaching out and let me know who you would like me to interview, because I created the show for all of us. As you all know, we are all in this together, and I've been saying that since day one, and there is nothing more gratifying to me than listening to all of your success stories. And if I can help you do that, so be it. Just remember that all of you out there, and I don't care who you are, you all have a unique gift and talent to offer to this world. You just have to find what that is. And the first place you need to start is to listen to your heart. If it makes you happy, then just do that. And then you master that. But make sure that you treat people kindly on the way up. You know, your successes are definitely going to be rooted to how you treat people. And trust me, what you do and what you give, you get back in life. Now, I'm extremely excited for this episode, and I wanted to wait until I had the right guest because I know I myself could do a 45-minute presentation because as an 18-year veteran editorial music photographer, there's plenty to say about this topic. And I can tell you this, there are tons of artists out there that are missing the boat on this one. And this facet of their career, which to me is more important than your talent or music, which is why I wanted to dedicate an entire episode to the importance of getting the right images for your brand. And my guest today has photographed, seriously, the most iconic rock stars of the golden era of what I believe, quote unquote, is the true rock star. And I'm sure that he would agree with me about representing yourself accurately with your image branding. So let's get to it. First off, you need great songs. There's certainly no denying that. And secondly, your marketing skills have to be beyond reproach because people need to know you exist. And let's face it, you have to have an online presence, especially nowadays. And third, you just have to put on incredible and simply put memorable performances. And I know that this pandemic has placed some unprecedented restraints on that. However, you still have the capacity to do live streaming and on multiple platforms just by using your iPhone, so no excuses out there. Every performance counts, so make sure that you rehearse those songs and nail them in front of your audience because, again, as I mentioned in my previous episodes, you never want to put forth a mediocre performance because you never know who's watching. And in my personal experiences, if no one appreciates your presence, then your absence will mean nothing. Let that sink in for a second, because that's when you know you've gained a loyal fan, by the way they feel when you're not around. And I know it's true, because when I took my three-month hiatus from the passing of my dad, I was getting an onslaught of messages from my loyal supporters telling me, when am I going to get back to doing my lives? Or things like, they miss my voice, or we miss you and Dave, who is my guitar player, my co-producer. So it's things like that that you'll start to hear when people appreciate you and your music. And that's what you want to strive for. So it's safe to say that if you incorporate all of these three techniques and you execute them successfully, you can have a pretty successful music career. But aside from everything I just mentioned, there's still one piece of the puzzle that every artist needs to take seriously. And that, once again, so many artists miss the boat on. I can't stress that enough, and it's so frustrating. And that is your visuals. And I'm talking about your banners, your avatars, your album artwork. These things are huge because they're literally a direct extension of who you are as an artist. And I'm going to discuss three keys of what I feel are the most effective ways to create a powerful image to best represent your brand. Now, I know you're probably all thinking right now, Manny, bro, I'm just a singer, I'm just a songwriter, or I consider myself just a producer, and this whole branding and image thing, it's not my thing, man. Well, my rebuttal to that is this: you have to make it your thing. Because in all honesty, you could have all the talent in the world. You can have the next John Lennon Imagine hit in your grasp, but without the right visuals, how are you going to entice your viewers to watch your videos or even linger on your social media feeds? At the end of the day, you want to get people to listen to your music and, more importantly, attract the right kind of attention that will sustain your career. And without the proper visuals, which to me, in my personal opinion, and I can actually say this as a blanket statement, it's the fuel to your fire. The answer is you can't. And again, I use the classic example of the tree that falls in the woods that nobody hears. Because, guys, it's no question why big companies pay thousands, I mean thousands of dollars on billboards, or pay millions to celebrities to be the face of their products. Because branding sells. So you need to attach your own face to your product and sell your brand. You see where I'm getting at? Okay, so let's dive down that highway of the harsh reality. And I want you to think about this for a second, okay? You've been busting your ass countless hours on your latest EP or single or even the album that you are beyond proud of. Because let's face it, our music is our baby and you feel extremely confident about it. Now, the mix sounds great, the musicianship was flawless, and now you're ready to take it to the next level, which is what? Releasing it to the world. Now, this is where I slam the brakes, or the needle scratches the record. You know that. Because is it going to be amazing when people go to your profile picture? It's about 5 years old, right? Or it's out of focus or underexposed, or maybe even cliche, like it has you leaning up against a plain brick wall or on railroad tracks. Bruh. What type of impression do you think that's going to leave on the prospective fan? Or worse, industry professional that's interested in you or your music? I can tell you one thing, because I've seen it happen, and I've heard plenty of the hearsays from people in the industry talking about other artists with the same issues. The truth is, guys, no one's going to take you or your music seriously. And you're more than likely going to lose out on some solid opportunities, because if you don't take your visuals seriously, that just tells everybody that you don't take your brand seriously. And who the hell wants to work with somebody like that? Because remember, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. And it's hard enough to build the following with this oversaturated industry as it is. You want to make sure that any potential followers that see your profile become instantly engaged with your material and not the opposite. Now, this is a fact, guys. I myself have been a professional editorial music photographer for close to what now? Jeez, 18 years, okay? Now, I can't tell you how many times I've looked at an artist or band website and said, are these guys serious with these pictures? Now, if I'm saying that, think about what investors, club owners, managers, record labels, or whoever in this industry might think. You get my point? So step one is trying to find the right photographer. And no, that doesn't mean your best friend who has an iPhone, who has somewhat of an eye. I'm talking about saving your money and hiring a professional who has experience shooting music photography, but also has a style that you can relate to, which means checking out their credentials, you know, whether it's a website or an Instagram page or what have you, and making sure that they are legit. Just like you don't want to cut corners with your music production, you have to treat your visuals with the same intensity in this business. And believe me, guys, you can't cut corners. It's a pay-to-play industry, no matter which way you look at it. Step number two has to do with creating a vision for your campaign. So Now that you've hired the perfect photographer, you need to make sure that they understand your vision. So make sure you send them your music either by email or other services like, there's so many out there, like WeTransfer or Dropbox, because it'll definitely help the photographer identify with your style. And that's creating a starting point. I always recommend that they have a styling sheet or some sort of mood board, at least 8 to 10 images that they truly love or let's just say have been inspired by that could help explain their vision. Because out of all my experiences, all it takes is one image for me to completely understand the direction that they want to take, which also helps me create stories for their look. Because remember, guys, at the end of the day, it's all about communication. And the more you communicate with your photographer, the better the end result will be. But again, you have to do the work prior to the shoot to get optimum results. And the final step is the easiest one. And again, so many artists just completely drop the ball on this. And that's just to make sure you get a good night's sleep. Don't go out on a binger the night before and go to concerts and stay out to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, because you need to chill on the day of the shoot. You need to look refreshed, because all the due diligence should have been done by now. So I hope, anyway. So now it's just time to be yourself in front of the camera and leave it up to the photographer to capture the magic. So that's it, guys. Now you realize how important it is to build a solid brand. And one of the most effective ways is through what? Robust and powerful images. And when I come back, my guest will discuss the tactics and the stories behind his iconic images of some of the most incredible artists of our time. So stick around. I've got a treat for you when we return.
You're listening to the Mojo for Musicians podcast. To learn more about becoming a guest on the show to share your mojo with us, visit MannyCabo.com and send us an email in the contact section. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you like what you hear, be sure to give us a positive review on your favorite listening platform. And now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back, Mojo Maniacs. And as promised on the other line, I have an amazing artist who is known for capturing some of the most zaniest, and believe me, that's an understatement, and iconic legendary moments in rock and roll history, photographing the likes of Ozzy Osbourne, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, just to name a few. And some of his album cover credits include Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, Bon Jovi, Slayer, and the list goes on. His work has been seen in countless industry magazines such as Circus, Faces. Oh man, that brings back so many awesome childhood memories. But anyway, and he's also the author of his latest book featuring never before published photography, The Decade That Rocked. So please welcome to the show a dear friend and fellow music photographer, Mark Weiss. What's going on, Mark? And welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, Manny, thanks for having me, man. It's a real pleasure, and thanks for the intro. And it's funny, like right before you called, I got an email from Ozzy's merchandising company, and they said, are these your photos? And there were photos of Ozzy from Faces magazine on the Mother's Day issue where Ozzy's dressed up in drag, which is featured. Yeah. You know, and I just got it in, and then here you're saying the zany and all this, and Ozzy you mentioned Faces, and I just got this email with the Faces cover of Ozzy and drag.
That's too funny. See, man, serendipity, brother. What can you say? I mean, it's all factual. I'm just stating the truth, man.
It's just so funny. You just specifically mentioned that, and there I get, you know. So, that's how I make my living now. It's through my photographs that I shot 30, 40 years ago when I was a kid, you know.
No, absolutely, man. And so fortunate. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that's grateful that you actually captured so many incredible images. And all I can say, dude, in reviewing your book, I lost track of how many iconic moments that I wish I was a fly on the wall for, because every page that I flipped through, you know, brought me back to so many childhood memories of rock stars that I revered and still do till this day. And quite frankly, made me pursue music And I guess you could say made me who I am today as an artist. So again, thank you for capturing such priceless moments and rekindling some timeless childhood memories for me, man. And I'm sure you get tons of similar praises globally because of that.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate it. And, you know, back then, I didn't know where it was going to go. You think, you know, you do a picture for a magazine and then in a month it's on to the next band or the next, you know, whatever it was. Right. And I wanted to stay in the game. So I was very like, you know, I loved doing what I did, but I didn't think 30, 40 years later, they'd be in a book and being shared and then getting accolades for, you know, pictures I did just by hanging out as a fan and being having fun with all these bands, you know. It's pretty cool, you know.
Well, dude, you're a rock star and a rock star photographer, no doubt. Dude, didn't you even get arrested? I was reading you got arrested for Aerosmith shots for going backstage.
No, that was actually that there's two stories there. The first one was when I was 17. When I was 16, I used to sell pictures in front of Madison Square Garden and Capitol Theater, the tri-state area, and I got arrested for selling my pictures in front of the Kiss concert in 1977. I went to jail overnight, and then the next day I went to Circus Magazine with my portfolio, and they liked me. And 6 months later, I was working, you know, my first picture of Steven Tyler and Aerosmith was the first picture published, you know, in summer. So,
well, see, hidden, you were always in alignment with the true rock star, man, because that's usually how the greats started in one way, shape, or other, you know, attracting the law. Not the most appealing ways, but still, that's awesome, man. So listen, before I engage in our heartfelt discourse, I always preface every episode with tips and strategies that I've acquired throughout my career as an artist to help propel artists in their journeys as well. And of course, as a photographer, I've always believed that image branding is even more important than the music we create. Because speaking from experience, I know that there were so many times where an image drew me to an artist and just compelled me to want to listen to their music. So it's safe to say that today's questions are geared toward the importance of having great images to entice the viewer, you know, to look deeper into you as an artist. So with that being said, I want to jump into question number one. Of course, we know how powerful and trend-setting the music of the 80s were because you captured an array of them. But how much impact did your images have on the overall presentation of the band? And I don't even care if it was an album cover, behind-the-scenes shots, whatever. Like, in other words, did it contribute to the interest of the fans?
Well, yeah, I mean, fortunately for a photographer in the 80s, whether it was heavy metal, pop, or whatever, you know, because, you know, Prince, Madonna, Rick James, and, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, all, it was that decade because of MTV. I give MTV the creds for that, is because it was so important for imagery and to get it out on that and that medium. And before it got to MTV, you know, it would be an image that would be on the album cover or promotional photos. So really, before the videos came out, they really thought about their image very carefully. Where in the 70s, it was thought about, but it wasn't so, like, I don't want to say contrived, but, you know, once the record companies got involved, they had a little bit more say, a little bit, you know, management. Everyone really, really thought about it. And if you look through the book, it really weaves through the visual imagery of how these bands really kind of were in tune with each other and how it kind of weaved through the fashion statement. And then, you know, whether it was a picture on a cover, like when I first shot Ozzy for the cover of Circus, he wore it was a pink tutu. And even though that wasn't his image, right, it got attention. And it brought him into another kind of place on his imagery, just having fun with it, as opposed to a cover with Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry, where he's aggressively holding the bone.
Right, I remember that one.
Yeah, so, and also moving forward to, you know, Cinderella, Nice Songs, and Docking Under Lock and Key, where they were really flamboyant, because in 85, 86, that was when, you know, this music that we, unfortunately, people call hair metal, got coined pretty much in those 2 years.
Or glam rock, of course.
glam rock would have been a nicer label, but you know, they like to call it hair metal, you know. I call it just rock and roll, and that's what it is. But you know, everything has a label, and those two album covers were very like glam at its finest. It almost didn't even represent like the bands they played. You know, Cinderella was this bluesy rock band, kind of Rolling Stones vibe, mm-hmm. and here we have this really glammy, sweet meets Ziggy Stardust kind of vibe, right. and you know, those images definitely are remembered, you know, for that reason. And then moving forward to Anthrax, Around the Man, where they're not really rappers, but you remember that photo because of how different it was, and that was their, you know, one of their biggest selling records, you know, which I did the photos for, and right. It was just all image related. So yeah, photographs definitely has something to do with it. It always will. And even today, even more so, because it's so instant and social media. So it's just, there's abundance of it now.
Well, I'm glad, because that's where I was kind of like segue into, because I am a firm believer, and I tell artists all the time, dude, what's going on with your image here, man? You're misrepresenting who you are. So I'm glad that you actually clarified that, because sometimes artists don't realize how important it is, especially nowadays, where it doesn't matter how good you are, how talented you are. People's perception is reality, and what they see at first glance will determine if they're going to pursue you even further, you know? And so I'm glad that you could actually agree with me on that, especially during those decades where we didn't have this immediate gratification. We didn't have YouTube, man. I lived in record stores, and I remember flipping through these photo albums. I'm like, oh my God, that's Angus Young. That's what Angus Young looks like live, you know? And I think we've lost that fanfare, you know, that nostalgia when we look at photographs, because again, you know, you could just click on any social media profile and everything is there in its full glory, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
So listen, question number two is a little bit more personal. And obviously you've been doing this for a long time with much success, but if you had the opportunity to visit the 18-year-old Mark Weiss when he was first starting out, what would you tell him to do differently that perhaps could have expedited your success as a photographer?
Honestly, nothing, you know.
You know, it's funny, but I knew you were going to say that, but I have to ask that because, you know, I get such incredibly interesting answers, like, well, I probably would have did this, or like you, nothing, man, I wouldn't change it for the world. And I'm assuming with so many highlights in your life, you'd probably say the same.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can't even regret it, because I don't think I could have done anymore, but you know, looking back at my body work, it's pretty full, but there are moments that I miss, not a lot, but I would have liked to gone on, you know, I would have liked to shot, you know, Pantera in the '80s, which I didn't. Yeah. Bill was all glammed up, you know,
with the cowboys from hell.
Freaking yeah. What a great song that was. You know, there might've been a handful of moments that I wish or bands that I would have shot, but not really many. And I just couldn't be everywhere. You know, I couldn't be at every video shoot. I couldn't do every photo shoot. I did the most I could do. I mean, I was like nonstop. It was like, you know, I didn't even have a time to make a portfolio. So my book, you know, The Decade That Rocked, is kind of like my portfolio of shoots that I've done, and narrative, and it kind of tells the story of how I became the photographer who I am.
Top three best captures. Go.
Ozzy and the Tutu.
Okay. Yeah, it's a loaded question coming from me. Yeah, absolutely.
You said it like I had to say it quick. So, like a game show, but let me think. I would say, yeah, the US Festival, and also the Moscow Peace Festival.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
Yeah, some good ones, man. No, definitely. Oh, dude. So let's just mosey on into question number three, which is definitely geared toward my listeners who are, let's say they're currently in the midst of looking for that, you know, perfect image of representation. What would you recommend, or for that matter, help solidify their marketing campaign visually? Like, what would you say? You know, I'm Manny Cabo. I'm looking for a good photographer. I got an album out. You know, I've got a little bit of followers and I'm looking for the right photographer. What would you recommend for that artist?
Well, you know, whenever I do a new shoot with a new band, I'd say just, you know, bring your vibe here and bring a bunch of clothes, even things that you don't even think about you want to wear, and bring some hats, some scarves, some whatever. And then I'll see what I got. I mix it up and hopefully they listen to me, and, or they can, you know, if they come in with what they, with one thing, then I always tell them to just bring black, you know, because if the band comes in with just black, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, certainly. Do you think does it help when you listen to their music? Because I get a lot of that when I'm doing bands.
You know, honestly, it doesn't, you know, and I don't even want to know who the singer is and who the guitar player is or anyone, if it's a band that's brand new. I mean, yeah. After I weave them through together, and it's kind of like a 4 or 5 piece puzzle, and I just go with how they look. And then, yeah, if I put the drummer in the front and then the guitar and the singer in the back, you know, then they get a little weird, and then I start juggling them around, you know.
Gotcha.
But you
know,
okay. Usually the songwriter and the singer, they usually want to be a little dominant in the photo.
Sure. Sure. A little ego sometimes kicks in, of course. I mean, that's common, especially in this industry where it's like flooded with ego.
You're writing the song and you're singing the songs. You should be in front, but I always like to kind of not know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you give me an idea? Did you ever have like any type of negative confrontations photographing bands? Just curious, something that could have been avoided perhaps?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it could have been avoided, but it's in my book, actually. It's called Danzig Is Not Amused.
Okay.
And the record company hired me to shoot their album packaging because the cover was that skeleton of a cow or something.
Yeah. I recall.
You know, with Mother was the single on there. You know, it was their first debut album.
Mother, do you? Yeah. Yeah, dude, a great song. Yep.
So they came in. I never shot them before. Never met them. Came to my studio and they, you know, had the set going. It just had some different textured backgrounds and started moving them around to make them, you know, look good. And Glenn's a smaller guy. So I had one of the tricks is you put him in the front, you lower the camera a little bit and you use a longer lens and you put the tall guys in the back. And, you know, because Glenn had to be in the front, that I knew.
Of course.
So I had them positioned and everything was, you know, very technical, really. They didn't give me much feedback. They weren't too chatty, and, you know, they weren't my typical, you know, bands that I would shoot like Motley or Guns N' Roses or Poison. They were just, you know, I knew they were a little harder edged and they came across that way. But then when they weren't listening to me, like, cause my job is to make them look good, you know, and Glenn had a little bit of a chin and a couple of the other guys were standing a little awkwardly. So I would actually, when they weren't listening, I would go there and I would do this often with other artists and I'd have fun with it. You know, like I'd grab them and grab their shoulders and move them forward. Right. And sometimes with the bands that I knew, I would like whisper in their ear and like kid around and say, you know, you're hot or something, you know, something.
Right.
Now I didn't do that with Danzig, but I did touch them and their shoulders. And the first two guys in the band, you know, kind of went along with it because they were just, you know, Glenn's band. So then when I got to Glenn, he said, don't touch me, you know.
And I said, okay. A little Napoleon complex, perhaps.
Yeah, so then I didn't touch him. And then I tried to get more pictures out of him. I said, okay, that's enough. We got it. And then what surprised me was then they left. They said, oh, we want to do one more shot. They came out without shirts on. And I was like, all right, I don't get it. I'll do whatever you got. The hired gun here. So anyway,
so they came out with a total 180 attitude. Yeah, you would think that they'd be a little bit more, you know, conservative, considering that they just yelled at you for time. It makes no sense. But yeah, man, stuff happens.
They were doing their Black Oak Arkansas shot, I guess. My swamp, you know, because there was an old shot in the 70s with that. I don't know if that's what they were thinking or whatever, but this is just them in the studio against a white background without their shirts on.
Right. Huh. Interesting. All right. So listen, the favorite question of the show and, my, you know, the trademark question, which I have to ask, obviously, but what is your mojo? Like, what keeps Mark Weiss wanting to continuously snap the shutter and capture moments in time? Because I'm sure, like anything else, and I've been there many times, there's sometimes I can't even look at a camera anymore. So do you feel the same way? And do you see yourself doing this until your last breath or what?
Chicks. Girls. Well, actually, you know, before I was married, it was, you know, I did it for the attention and for, you know, hanging out with rock stars and the girls and this team.
Sure.
And now I'm single again. So I'll say the same. And so it's chicks.
Chicks. No. And the chicks. Oh, really, right.
I'm kidding about that. Right. Kind of. But it's meeting people, you know. I like meeting people. I like, I was a very introverted kid. My brother had some mental illness I was a teenager, and he got all the attention, you know, from my parents. And this kind of, when I started taking photos, I got a lot of attention, in high school. All of a sudden I have pictures of Peter Frampton and Led Zeppelin and Steven Tyler. And,
that's,
you know,
crazy. That's awesome. Though.
Came up to me and I got attention, and I started selling them. So, and then when I started shooting bands, you know, it's like every time I shot a new band, it was like having four or five new friends, plus the road crew and the managers and everything else. So, you know, and I still feel the same way. You know, I look forward to shooting new bands and meeting new people and, you know, and having relationships. And most of them that I've had from the 80s, I still have, you know. So,
yeah, of course. How has this pandemic impacted your, you know, your career as a photographer?
Well, I don't really shoot as much or at all, really, because of it, because, you know, there's just no concerts, you know. But I've been fortunate enough to have an archive of photographs where, you know, people need photos. Like I just said, like the merchandising company from Ozzy. Mm. Also, Motley Crue did a new line. Rick James has a movie coming out where they interviewed me because I was his photographer in the early 80s. So they, a bunch of photos. So, you know, it's licensing. And then really my book, you know, so I have my book for sale. Yeah, obviously you can get it on Amazon at a better price than I sell them online, but I sign them and I give them photos and postcards and things like that. So that's really been a big plus, you know, and nine months later, it's still, you know, on the top of the Amazon heavy metal charts. So
that's,
it's
awesome.
Still,
that was my next question. Like, how do people find you if they want to read up on Mark Weiss and all your accomplishments as a photographer?
Yeah, right now it's just go to thedecadethatrocked.com, and there's interviews up there. There's a little, you know, merch shop where they can get, you know, gallery prints. There's anything that I'm doing, really, you know, sign up on the mailing list. And if I'm going to be heading down to doing some shows with this Slippery When Wet band. It's like the number one Bon Jovi tribute band.
Yeah, I've heard of them, dude. I'm so sorry I missed your auction down South Jersey. Unfortunately, at that time, you remember I had to go to Nashville. So I would have loved to have been at that one, man. Cause you know, I want my own signed copy of the book, bro. You know,
of course you're going to get one. unfortunately, like, they're sold out again. They're doing another reprint of 5,000. And I think I might have to wait till June now to get it, which
Good for you.
Yeah, we're on our fourth reprint, and there's also on our second reprint in Brazil that just got released last month, and also in French. There's a French edition.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's incredible. Man, that's all. I'm really excited for you, man. I wish you nothing more but success and continued blessings with all of your work, man, because there's so many eyes out there that still need to see this book and try to at least visually relive what I lived. Reality, man, I wouldn't change that decade for the world. I grew up with the real rock stars of the era, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Listen, brother, I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy. I really want to thank you once again for sharing your moments, man, and rekindling, as I said, such great moments for me, man. So thank you so much for donating your time and your journeys with us.
Okay, and all those bands out there that need a photographer, you know, don't be shy. You know, if there's someone you like, and don't let them, whether it's me or someone else in your town, like, just reach out, say, this is what I got, I need some help, send them your package, and hopefully you get it, because a lot of these bands, they just do it themselves and they have friends do it. And, you know, if they're good, they're good. But, you know, reach out to someone that's in your area, and you'd be surprised on who might want to, you know, join your journey.
Yeah, of course. I couldn't have said it better myself, especially now that so many people are home and I've had so much success reaching out to top tier people that, you know, you would think, oh, there's no way they're going to call back. And soon enough, and the funny thing is they call back in relatively a short amount of time, too. So I couldn't agree with you more, man. Guys, if you need a photographer, don't hesitate. Your image is everything, unfortunately, nowadays. And Mark Weiss is definitely someone that I would endorse. So thanks again, brother. Much love to you and keep it going.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me, Manny.
You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Mojo for Musicians podcast. If you're a musician, producer, engineer, or any other industry professional wanting to share your mojo and stories of success with our listeners, or just want to share some feedback on today's episode, we'd love to hear from you. So just send us an email at info@mannycabo.com. Thanks for listening.